Vaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're reading, what, verses 7 and 8. What happened? We did two verses yesterday. One. I only did four. I didn't do five. We just read the Sanskrit. That was all. You did. Anyway, okay. Okay. So you have on your sheets, what is it, 7 or 8? 8. All right, very good. So we are reading this morning from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 24, the renunciation of Kardama Muni, verses 7 and 8. And I will read verse 7 to start off with myself. Avadayam tadav yomni vaditrani gana gana gayanti tam smagandharva nrityant yapsaraso muda. Translation: at the time of his descent on earth, demigods in the form of raining clouds sounded musical instruments in the sky. The celestial musicians, the Gandhavas, sang the glories of the Lord, while celestial dancing girls known as Apsaras danced in joyful ecstasy. There's no purport there, so we will read verse 8. Peto sumanaso Divya ke charar apavarjita prasedush cha disha sarva ambamsi cha manamsi cha. Hetu sumanaso divya kecharar apavarjita prasedoscha disha sarva ambam secha manam secha. Petu sumanaso divya kecharar apavarjita prasedoscha disha sarva ambam secha manam secha. Petu sumanaso divya kecharar apavarjita prasedoscha disha sarva ambam secha manam secha. Mataji's. Peto fell, sumanasa flowers, divya beautiful, kecharai by the demigods who fly in the sky, apavarjita dropped, prasedo became satisfied, cha and disha directions, sarva all, ambamsi waters, cha and manamsi minds, cha and. Translation. At the time of the Lord's appearance, the demigods flying freely in the sky showered flowers. All the directions, all the waters, and everyone's mind became very satisfied. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. It is learned herewith that in the higher sky, there are living entities who can travel through the air without being hampered. Although we can travel in outer space, we are hampered by so many impediments, but they are not. Sri Sri Radharadnath Sri Giri Govardhan Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Ki Jai. So although we can travel in outer space, we are hampered by so many impediments, but they are not. We learn from the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam that the inhabitants of the planet called Siddhaloka can travel in space from one planet to another without impediment. They showered flowers on the earth when Lord Kapila, the son of Kardama, appeared. Very nice. Oops. Okay. Right. Petusu manaso divya, kecharar apavarjita, prasedoscha disha sarva, ambamsi cha manamsi cha. At the time of the Lord's appearance, the demigods flying freely in the sky showered flowers. All the directions, all the waters, and everyone's mind became very satisfied. Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharne Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschachade Shatarne Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vanchakalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Paditanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Hare Krishna. Well, yes, Lord Kapila is appearing on this planet. And so much auspiciousness is there. It's amazing. It's wonderful. Yes. So much auspiciousness. The first verse, or verse 7, is talking specifically about the auspiciousness. It's so wonderfully, amazingly auspicious. And verse 8 is talking, well, Prabhupada focuses on this flying business. Okay. So yes, so much auspiciousness, including being able to fly. That's amazing. That's auspicious, isn't it? Sure. I can't fly. I'm not auspicious enough. But the birds can fly. Well, you know, they're not that auspicious, really, generally. Oh dear, such is life in this world. But there is a lot of auspiciousness here, and joy, and just wonderful emotions, feelings. Because the Supreme Personality of Godhead is about to appear. Or actually, in verse 7, he's about to appear. He actually appears in verse 8. Wow, how wonderful. So, of course, you know, one point, it's a very interesting point, is about auspiciousness, that different things have different qualities and different activities have different qualities. And those different qualities, you could say, different features of the existences of those things, they have different effects. And therefore, we should try to live as auspicious lives as reasonably possible. The most auspicious thing, of course, is Krishna consciousness. So we should be as Krishna conscious as possible. And then when Krishna consciousness is there, then it doesn't really matter so much about things which are inauspicious. But even though that's true, still it's nice to live an auspicious life in as many ways as reasonably possible. Because if inauspiciousness is there, it also has effects. And until one becomes really transcendental, then the effects of those inauspicious things have their effects on us in tangible ways. This we're discussing in Nectar of Devotion, and we're going to continue on Monday. There'll be a number of verses we'll read about how, without Krishna consciousness, anything auspicious is basically inauspicious. Prabhupada makes that point on a number of occasions, that on the material level, if everything is more or less just situated on the material level, then even anything auspicious is inauspicious. How's that? Confusing. But it's true. Anything which may otherwise be considered auspicious on the material level, but actually without the presence of Krishna consciousness, it is not even auspicious, not even just not auspicious, but it is actually inauspicious. Even being vegetarian, being vegan, there's big movement, it seems, around the world, at least in many places, that being vegan is very good. You should be vegan. But without being Krishna conscious, without the food being offered to Krishna, it's inauspicious. It is inauspicious, including having specific effects, tangible effects, not just in subtle ways, which may be difficult to really perhaps put your finger on, unless you've got more refined senses. But even the foodstuffs that we eat, lacto-vegetarian, not vegan, usually, but if they're not offered to Krishna, they're inauspicious. They will have bad effects. We've mentioned before, some of you may have read, I'm sure you've heard before, that when Srila Prabhupada did a program in the Durban City Hall, did he do one or two programs? Anyway, there was definitely one. Perhaps there was just one. But there was definitely one. So one gentleman, Mr. Narayan Singh from Stanga, maybe some of you even know him or know of him, they're prominent family and staunch vegetarian, at least they were, I don't know about now. And he was a vegetarian campaigner. And when Srila Prabhupada gave the class and finished the class and asked for questions, this gentleman was there. He was there on the ball with the question. And his question or request was, can you please explain the value of being vegetarian? Something to that effect. Expecting and hoping that Prabhupada would speak strongly, yes, vegetarian, you got to be vegetarian, otherwise you're in trouble. But Srila Prabhupada, special answer in a special situation. Because normally if people ask questions like that, Prabhupada would advocate vegetarianism, actually. But now Prabhupada said, it does not matter. It does not make a difference. You can look it up and see. It's in the folio. You can see Prabhupada says, it is not very important. Vegetarian or non-vegetarian, not very important. The main thing is you offer your food. You must eat prasadam. That's what Prabhupada says. So, of course, I was not there, but I can just imagine, Mr. Narayan Singh's bubble becoming quickly deflated. Yes, because even something like that, which is considered to be auspicious by many people who are very concerned about doing right and not doing wrong, that sort of idea. Even being vegetarian, if the food is not offered to Krishna, if you're not a devotee, then it's inauspicious. It's inauspicious. Yeah. That vegetables are also living entities. They also have the right to live. And we do not have the right to dictate to them that we think you should not live now. That we think, we just want to eat you and so there you go. No, they get the reaction. They get the reaction. And some of these reactions are very severe, actually. They're very severe. Yes, so all of that vegetarian food which is not being offered to Krishna, Krishna says that people are simply eating sin. And Prabhupada says lumps of sin. you know, your very nice potato, alu, your lovely alu, beanie, with our favorite sugar beans, or whatever they are. If they're not offered to Krishna, then they're going to contribute to you taking a next lifetime and there being negativity in your next lifetime, even though otherwise they're considered very auspicious. I mean, it's considered very auspicious to be vegetarian. You know, even by vegan standards, alu bini, as Parthasarathy Maharaj would say, by vegan standards, it's very nice. It's very good. It's vegetarian and no dairy. Aha. So, but when the food is offered to Krishna, then Prabhupada discusses that even the vegetables may get human births, even the vegetables may even go back to Godhead before you. Yeah. And you may arrive in Goloka Vrindavan at some point in the future. We pray to the Lord. And a devotee may meet you by the entranceway and inform you that he was one of the alus that you ate in the Radharadnath temple on the 20th of June, 2020, at lunch prasadam time, cooked by, who's the cook today? Anyway, somebody. Who? Jai?
Rasalika.
Or Rasalika? Okay, anyway, like that. So we're amused, but actually it's not amusing. It's true. It's true. But still, when we're devotees, it's nice as much as reasonably possible to have an auspicious environment. Yes, like as much as possible, a natural type of environment with enough room to live, and, you know, decent facilities which encourage the mode of goodness as much as reasonably possible. Ultimately, we may not mind that much for the sake of Krishna consciousness. As Prabhupada explains in Nectar of Instruction, we read a few weeks ago, that particularly in those days, and in some temples still now, the devotees living in the temples were living in really cramped conditions with great shortages of facility. It was amazing, actually, how we lived. I can't believe that I lived like that. Honestly, I just cannot believe that at night we would lie literally on the floor in our sleeping bags, no mattresses of any sort, on the floorboards. And there was space just wide enough for one person. And then there was the next person and the other person on either side of you. And at the ends, there were someone's lotus feet were by your head. And your feet were by someone's lotus head. And that's the way it was. And that's really the way it was. And limited bathing facilities. Amazing. And I remember clearly waking up on a number of occasions with someone's lotus feet on my head, in my mouth, and really, So, you know, in a certain sense, it's inauspicious. It's overcrowded. And it's difficult to keep things clean and so on like that. But Prabhupada makes the point there that the devotees, just for the sake of living in the company of devotees in a Krishna-conscious atmosphere, which is just sort of saturated with service and chanting and all these things, the devotees don't mind accepting even uncomfortable conditions, living conditions. But as much as things can be auspicious as possible, the better. Yes, so anyway, of course, the particular verse here with the purport, which Prabhupada has commented on, is talking about the flying. The demigods were flying freely in the sky, showering flowers. And all the directions became very satisfied. Can you picture that? All the waters became very satisfied. I don't know. Is this water satisfied? Actually, I've got to drink this. Yes. So even all the waters were very satisfied. Not just regular satisfied, but very satisfied. And everyone's mind became very satisfied. The conditions were very auspicious, but particularly because the Supreme Personality of Godhead was appearing. So anyway, Prabhupada in the purport focuses on this point about the flying interplanetarily, that these people, he says, from Siddha Loka, they can travel freely. It seems they don't need any type of spaceship with an artificial atmosphere and all these types of conditions required for the survival of your typical human body. They can actually fly through space, even though, as we understand, there's, I think, no oxygen there, or less oxygen, or less atmospheric constituents than are required for the survival of our material bodies. But they can just fly through. They don't even need like a breathing device with an oxygen tanks or something like that to survive. They just carry on. And they don't need some horrendous type of spaceship burning up huge amounts of fuel to pass through the skies, through space. They just fly through, away they go. Like Narada Muni. Narada Muni, he has that capability. He just flies, just as he is. He just flies in between planets, even better than these people from Siddhaloka, he flies through the coverings of the universe, through whatever there is in between, and into the Vaikuntha realm, and into the different Vaikuntha planets, into Goloka Vrindavan, and he just enters and spends time and then moves on elsewhere. by the arrangements of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even amazing things can be done. Srila Prabhupada on a few occasions, or it's more actually like Chaitanya Charitamrita and Chaitanya Bhagavat, in a few places, they talk about how Lord Chaitanya's movement is going to spread throughout the universe. Devotees. So interplanetarily, it is actually going to spread. Okay, Hare Krishna. You know, that's there in scripture, so we assume it's going to happen. It must be going to happen. But the point, at least the point I'm touching on here, is that by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all sorts of very amazing things can happen which go beyond what our experiences and go thereby go beyond what we assume or even are convinced is possible. Yes. This is amazing. There's the famous conversation of Srila Prabhupada's when he was going to, when he was starting the production of Chaitanya Charitamrita. And I think you all know the story. He wanted the BBT devotees to accelerate their production. They were doing one book every 2 months. And Prabhupada offered that, you know, you must do more. And they said, yes, Prabhupada, we will do one book a month. We will double it. People might think, and they thought, very good, we'll double it. But Prabhupada said, no, you do all, how many were 17, I think, volumes? 17 volumes in 2 months. And the devotee Radha Vallabha, who I used to know a bit, but I don't know where on earth he is now. He was a production manager of the BBT in Los Angeles, which was the BBT pretty much in those days. And he said, but Prabhupada, that's impossible. And Prabhupada said, impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary. And then, of course, we might respond that, well, Prabhupada, we are fools. So it's a word in our dictionary, and it means it's a reality for us. But Prabhupada wouldn't accept that. Didn't accept it, and it happened. And by the time they finished and had received a copy printed from the printers of the last volume, a devotee flew to India and went to Vrindavan. Prabhupada was in Vrindavan and presented a copy of the book to Prabhupada, like, just see. We did it. And Prabhupada looked at the date and saw it was 2 months and 1 day from when he had given the instruction. And Prabhupada said, you are 1 day late. With Prabhupada, it was difficult to get some sort of, you know, praise and things that might puff you up. Prabhupada was opposed to pride in his disciples and in general. So it's a fact. By the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, things which otherwise would be considered not possible are actually possible and may not simply be possible, but may just be really easy, extremely easy. In one sense, you could say that who would have imagined even, I don't know, say when Prabhupada was here? Well, no. Going back some years, who would have imagined that you can speak to a person on, you know, thousands of kilometers away in real time? Because the speed of sound, you know, if you shout, somehow if you're able, or, you know, if you have some loud speaker system, and at full volume from here over to, you know, somewhere, the top of the hill over that side, it will take a quite noticeable period of, I don't know, a few seconds before the sound reaches there. But now the sound is reaching the other side of the world at the very same moment. It's something extraordinary. It would definitely have been considered impossible. It was considered impossible. Yeah. So many things can be done. And if we engage, like Kardama was just so focused and fixed as a devotee, and even Devahuti, despite how she appeared to be, or her consciousness appeared to be in the beginning, but as time goes on and it comes to this time now, we see that actually she's very Krishna conscious. So if we remain very, or if, not remain, but if we become very Krishna conscious, then by Krishna's mercy, who knows? Well, we don't even know actually, but some very wonderful things can happen for us, for our Krishna consciousness, and for our spreading of Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. Any comment or question, devotees? Maharaj. Oh, okay. Oh. Can be. Can do. Prabhupada said. Yes. Okay. Yes. That's good. That's very Krishna conscious. Yeah, if I don't know if you heard there, but Maharaj Ram Govinda Maharaj said that we talked about vegetables getting delivered, going back to Godhead before us, who are chanting our rounds, etc., etc. So in the story of Gajendra in the 8th canto of the Bhagavatam, the crocodile who attacked Gajendra, you know, very aggressively, went back to Godhead, as the story unfolded by the arrangement of the Supreme Lord, went back to Godhead before Gajendra. Crocodile didn't seem to be so Krishna conscious. But Gajendra, he was really trying to be Krishna conscious. Prabhu, loud and clear. How come Narada Muni is the only one who can travel, yeah, not just interplanetarily, but between the spiritual world and here? Well, you know, he is not the only one. There are definitely others. We are aware of, from Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Gopakumar, or he becomes, his swarup is that his name is Sarup. Yeah. And he's a resident of Goloka Vrindavan. He's a cowherd boy there. But he has a service of going up and down between, from Goloka Vrindavan, Vaikuntha, to the material world, and then back and back and back and forth and back and forth. And in the description there, he's already been doing it. He's speaking to one devotee, telling his story. And he tells them that, yeah, now this is what I do. I go up and down. So Narada's not the only one, but it's very special. It's not just sort of like common. And we would understand that, you know, we were in the spiritual world one time. This is the idea, basically, that we accept. But now we're down here, so we must have done it. I mean, we have done it. I'm not exactly sure how, but somehow we did it already. So many living entities. How many? Sure. Vast, vast numbers. Mother Rukmini, anybody? Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.